Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. Yo, what's up?
How's it going? What's going on?
Yo, Evan, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now.
All right, bro. I'm sorry, man. I have some technical difficulties tonight. But what's up, everybody? This is Lethal Lee and Keys Real Talk Radio. Got a special co-host tonight on, my man, Evan. Man, Evan is going to hold it down when my man Keys is out tonight. You know, he's doing some peaceful protesting in lieu of the George Floyd murder. Yeah, Evan, we're going to keep the show real light tonight, real fun. So, Evan, man, how goes it, bro?
Hanging in there, you know, taking every day one step at a time, just, you know, trying to enjoy life. You know how it is.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. So, you excited?
I'm very excited. There is so many good fights on this card that I can't wait to break down.
Yeah, I know that when I DM'd you earlier, I was like, yo, would you be willing to guest to co-host with me tonight? You seemed very excited, and I was like, well, man, Evan's going to have some fun. So, Evan, man, I'm going to throw my first thoughts off to you, man. I know last week when we did our predictions for the Woodley Burns fight, me and you both picked Burns to win. I think I picked Burns to win by unanimous decision. You picked him to win by first-round knockout. But, you know, looking back at that fight, man, what was your thoughts?
First things first, what a performance by Burns. Honestly, I don't think anyone expected that. Like, I don't want to say that in a negative light, but, like, I just think a lot of people thought, you know, Woodley was going to really show up that one and it was going to be more of a competitive fight. But, you know, Burns showed he's top five material and possibly, you know, world championship material.
Man, I have been telling Keys that for a while now that I think Woodley is a tale of two guys. When he was chasing the belt, he was more aggressive. You know, his fighting style was more exciting. But once he won the belt, it was like he was fighting not to lose instead of fighting to win. And I think that carried over to the Gilbert Burns fight. He seemed a lot – he seemed tentative to me. He seemed like he didn't want to put himself in harm's way. And I just think when you're trying to get yourself back in the title picture, that sometimes you have to take risks. I had Woodley winning rounds one and possibly round five. But there was nothing in that fight that he showed me to say that he was the better fighter out of between him and Burns. So I'm kind of worried about Woodley's career right now, man. He got dominated by Usman. And basically you can say he got dominated by Burns in this fight also. And now he was on Twitter, and I think he said that he signed on the contract to fight Colby Covington next. And if that is true, if he don't make a few changes, I see Colby possibly looking better against Woodley than Burns did.
You know, that, like, that's the thing that concerns me, you know. Like, with Woodley, like you said, it was kind of a tale of two guys. You know, you have Tyron Woodley, you know, who was the champion, you know, and the rap star. But then you had the chosen one, the one that was hungry for the belt, you know, the one that was, you know, knocking out Robbie Lawler, knocking out Koscheck. And then now we got, you know, this guy, and it's just not the same animal anymore. And, you know, I'm wondering if the Colby fight is true. I like that idea because, you know, the personal beef is there. So I think Woodley knows you can't like, in his mind and in his heart, he can't lose to Colby. Like, you can lose to Burns and Usman because they're top 10. I mean, top 5. Colby is also a top 5 guy. But losing to Colby in his heart, I know won't be – it will fly for him that easy.
You know, normally, round about now, when a guy go on like a 2-fight losing streak, knowing it will be saying maybe he needs a change of scenery. But I think he needs a change of style. What happened to his wrestling, man? Why don't – it's like – I know Gilbert Burns is a jiu-jitsu specialist, but sometimes you have to put – take a guy down and put that in their mind that, hey, now I got to be on defense for this. You know, now I got to defend against this. But when you just strictly pure stand up all the time, you become predictable. And in my mind, you become a one-trick pony. And one-trick ponies don't survive in the UFC nowadays.
That's absolutely true. And I like that idea of it. Of a change of style because his, you know, people kind of, they've accepted Woodley, I feel like now, as like, he's kind of like Yoel Romero in a sense, where they're very slow, they're very, very slow, they wait, and then they just explode because they want to conserve energy. But like, you know, Woodley's not landing, so it's not offering anything. You know, the explosion, the surprise just isn't there.
And then, you know, also, you know, with Burns looking so good against the former champ, Dana White said that Usman will most likely be defending against Gilbert Burns. And, wow, what a jump in the rankings for Gilbert Burns. He beats Damian Maia, then he beats Tyron Woodley, and he is in a title fight. Wow. I was definitely shocked to hear that, but at the same time, I look at the landscape of the division, and you see Masvidal. Masvidal wants to fight big money fights. He could care less about a belt, which is kind of stupid to me because your legacy is built on winning, being a champion. And for him to turn down a title shot, that means one of two things. That means that he either knows that he can't beat Usman, or he's just becoming a true prize fighter. That division is actually pretty stacked. But my question to you is, does Gilbert Burns deserve a title shot?
Is one of my top three favorite divisions in mixed martial arts altogether. So I pay a lot of close attention. And the top five, I'm not sure what it is currently. I know... You know,
I'm about to look it up now.
We got Burns at number one. That was the biggest jump. You know, Edwards is in there somewhere. Colby's in there. Obviously, Woodley was just in there. So, you got Edwards' 8-fight win streak, but he doesn't have the notoriety that the UFC wants him to have, and the whole Masvidal thing is the problem. Keep it to the question. I personally do think he deserves a title shot because, and I think the two wins, you know, the Damian Maia fight was great. He was able to get out of a submission, you know, submission attempt and grappling with Maia, which not a lot of people do. And he was able to knock him out in the first round, which Woodley couldn't do in 5 rounds. Granted, Woodley hurt his arm. But, you know, if you're going to give Jose Aldo a title shot off a loss, then how can you not justify giving Gilbert Burns a title shot after beating the number one ranked guy by unanimous decision and knocking out, you know, a former multiple time title challenger? So yes, 100%.
I was kind of shocked that they gave Burns a title shot. Me personally, I'm gonna go against the grain on this one. I think Edwards deserves the title shot. I think Edwards is the last guy to beat Usman, and I think Edwards is one guy that guys really don't want to fight. I think the Edwards fight was offered to Masvidal. I think Covington was offered Edwards. I know Woodley did accept the fight against Edwards. I would like to see it, guys.
We're having a little technical difficulties with the audio, but no worries on that, of course. So what we're talking about right now, obviously, we're looking at Gilbert Burns. Does he deserve a title shot? And then we're also looking at, you know, Edwards, 8-fight win streak. Does he deserve a title shot? Personally, as what Lee was just saying, I'm on his side as well. I actually do think Edwards deserves the title shot above Gilbert Burns, I think above everyone, because granted, yes, the 8-fight win streak does not have a lot of good names. His biggest win, obviously, is a Cowboy. But 8-fight win streak, man. What can you say?
Yeah, man. I don't know what's going on my telephone tonight, but that's okay. We're going to keep the show going, man. We're going to keep it rocking. But like I was saying, I think Masvidal versus Usman is basically the title fight that we should make, that should be happening. And then I don't mind Gilbert Burns versus Leon Edwards. Basically two guys that people really don't know about, but would be an exciting fight. And I'm all about the exciting fight. So, you know, if the UFC was to give Burns a title shot, I wouldn't be mad about it. Basically, he has been willing to take fights on short notice. He's willing to fight anybody, and he's shown that. So guys like that, I say reward them, because they are the stalwarts and the backbone of the organization, because they're willing to do stuff that other fighters won't do. So I'm really not mad about Burns getting a title shot. But if I had to say who I think deserves a title shot, I would go with Edwards, because he is the last guy to beat Kamaru Usman. But Saturday we have a bit. Go ahead, Evan.
No, I agree. It's just hard. It's hard to even say who deserves the title shot at 170. You just have too many good guys in that division. So it's really a pick 'em. But go on, please.
Yeah, man. You know, tomorrow night is a big, is a super stacked card tomorrow night, man. Oh my God, tomorrow night is like the bantamweight showcase tomorrow. You got Sunsal Garbrandt, my personal favorite fight on the card, Sanhagen Sterling. You got O'Malley fighting Wiley, which I do not like that matchup. You got Stamen versus Kelleher. Man, tomorrow is definitely a bantamweight showcase tomorrow. And, man, good grace, they got a lot of bantamweights on the card. What's your top thought about the card tomorrow?
You know, I like you said, it is the bantamweight tournament. It's exactly what, you know, UFC, I think it was UFC 217 was supposed to be like a middleweight showdown, because they were supposed to have so many middleweights. Like you had, you know, the Rockhold Ryzen rematch, Izzy and all that. But regardless, I love when you have meaningful fights on a card that actually, like, when someone wins and loses, it actually matters to the rankings. You know, Brian Kelleher is getting a following. You know, he's got the boom, whatever, but it's working for him. And then, like you said, Sterling versus Sanhagen, that's my personal favorite fight on this card. I think that fight, I personally think, should be a main event of a fight night, and I think it deserves 5 rounds.
Yes,
really,
sir.
Top to bottom, great card. Honestly, people were so upset with this card for a little while, but top to bottom, it's worked itself out.
I think people more upset about the co-main event, because Sunsal and Garbrandt, both of them are on losing streaks. If I'm not really looking at their records, but both of them are on losing streaks. Why would they be the main event when Sterling and Sanhagen are on winning streaks? That just doesn't add up to me. It's like, maybe that fight should be like the opener to the main card, because normally you want two big names to be the opener to the main card. I probably would have had that one starting the main the main card off instead of being a co-main event.
I agree, actually. I really do, because, you know, I'm glad they're going with O'Malley for the opener, because he is exciting and people are tuning in to watch him. But what you're saying is, because Cody Garbrandt is on a 3-fight losing streak, all knockouts, and I think all first round, maybe one in the second round. But he's on a losing streak, and at Sun Tau, I know, I think he lost to Moraes, and then he lost to Sanhagen. My problem is, someone I talked to has a theory. I forget who it was, but their theory is that the UFC is trying to book Cody Garbrandt to get this win, and they're hoping that Jan beats Aldo in the title fight so that they can heat up some sort of backstage rivalry that Cody Garbrandt and Jan had. And then also, since Jan beat Faber, so it's kind of like, I'm going to get you kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
But the only problem with that is that Dana White said today that the Sterling versus Sanhagen fight is a title eliminator. So basically,
you know,
Cody would still fall back in the line.
That's true, but we got to say, Dana White did say Usman Masvidal was supposed to be the next welterweight title fight, and now we're talking about Burns.
I already know where you're going at with this.
it's like we said
last week. It don't matter what they say. It matters what they do.
That couldn't be more true.
But I got a problem with the O'Malley-Wineland fight, man. To me, I know what they're doing with Sean O'Malley. They don't want to do the same thing with him that they did with Yair Rodriguez. But you couldn't find another bantamweight outside of Eddie Wineland to match him up against? Really, Eddie Wineland?
Right. You know, that's the sad truth that, you know, and O'Malley even stated that he wants these, you know, he even called it out as an easier fight. He wants the easier fight for the less money, and then when the UFC wants to start paying him good money, he'll take the top competition. But also, he makes a good point. You know, he's still young. He still only has so many pro fights. I don't know how many amateurs, but, you know, he's still growing as a mixed martial artist. So being smart and not rushing him to the top like you did with Till, you know, could benefit in the long run. But with how stacked bantamweight is, there could have been anyone else for him.
All right, man. So let's jump into it, man. What's your sleeper fight of the night on this card? And it's okay to have two.
Sleeper fight of the night?
Your sleeper fight of the night.
All right. You know, I like you said, I think I got two. And I'm going to go with, I think Cody Stamann versus Brian Kelleher is a sleeper one because, you know, Stamann lost to Sterling, and Brian never kind of has reached his, like, peak level, I guess you could say. But that fight is also actually, I don't know if we realize this, but that fight is being contested at featherweight, not actually a bantamweight fight. But I think that fight's going to be a sleeper one. And then my next sleeper one is Magny versus Anthony Rocco Martin. I kind of like this 2.0 Neil Magny. I think he's, you know, starting to, you know, climb back to the top of the rankings. You know, he's still there. And then you got Tony Martin coming up from 55 and looking pretty good at 170. So those two fights I think people should pay attention to.
My only pushback on Magny, and you can push back on the fights I pick also. My only pushback on Magny is sometimes he gets your hopes up because he'll look so good in a previous fight, and then he'll come back in the next fight and kind of like lay an egg and not look so good. So I'm kind of weary on Magny. And then I didn't know Stamann and Kelleher was going to be at 145. I thought that was going to be at 135. But I think Stamann might be – he's going to be motivated because I think he had a death in his family this week. So I think he's going to come in there with a little bit of extra motivation. But my fight of the night, underrated fight of the night, is Hooper versus Caceres. It's something about Hooper, man, that when he walks in the cage, he looks so unassuming. But, oh, my God, he looks so good. He put on good performances. I call him White Boy Rick because he just looks so plain. And, man, but when he get in that cage, he doesn't rush. He doesn't get overexcited. He stays with his game plan. And he just seems so smooth in there. So that's one of my underrated fights of the night. But my second one is Hines versus Mercer. I think this fight is going to be pretty good, man. Hines always puts in good performances and good fights. And Mercer is actually pretty damn good itself. I think this fight might be fight of the night, man. I think both of these guys could come in and put on good performances and probably have us talking about their fight, you know, after everything is said and done.
You know, I like that because I'm not going to lie to you, I actually forgot that fight was on there because there were some complications with Heinisch. I know, like, he got pulled from the card and they were working on another opponent for GM3, but then somehow Heinisch got back on the card. So that, you know, that gives me extra interest to see what goes on in that fight. And just for interest for anyone else, Mearshart, he actually is tied at number one with like six other people for like the most submissions at middleweight, which is five. So if he can get a submission win tomorrow night, he could be the number one record holder at middleweight. So that's something else to look forward to.
Okay, being that you picked Stamen versus Kelleher as an underrated fight to watch, who you got winning that fight?
You know, I think I was always going to pick Stamen because I think he's just faster and I think a more athletic. You know, he's just got more, probably more tools. Like, you know, I've seen Kelleher fight. He's got good striking and that guillotine is slick. But I think Stamen's wrestling, speed, and I think just overall athleticism is going to get him the victory. I can't say a finish. I think just the decision on that one.
Okay. Well, I will pick the Hines versus Mercer fight because I think Hooper is the favorite to beat Caceres because Caceres is, I don't know how he's still in the UFC, but he's still in the UFC. But I think Hooper is going to dominate him. But I am going with Mercer tomorrow in the upset, man. Heinisch is favorite. He's a negative 130, and Mercer is a plus 110. So, yeah, man, I'm going to go with Mercer. I think he wins via submission tomorrow.
I agree. I 100% agreement.
All right, so we talked about the underrated fight. What's one fighter that you got your eye on tomorrow? Who's the one fighter that you are going to have your eye on tomorrow?
There's plenty of incredible talent on the card, and you've got, you know, all the names. You know, if you're a decent MMA fan, you know, who the who's who of this card. But for me, the one fight that I'm very interested in is on the early prelims, and it's Alonzo Menifield versus Devin Clark. I am very interested to see Alonzo because he is a light heavyweight. He's 9-0, and I believe if I'm correct, you know, he's obviously, you know, he's a big knockout artist. But the interesting thing about him is at 205, he still is a pretty short guy because in one of his bouts, his reach was just such a disadvantage that he had to keep lunging, but eventually got the knockout. He's probably my number one pick to see where how he handles, you know, just another bigger light heavyweight. That's my guy.
Well, he has the reach advantage tomorrow by 1 inch, so probably going to be a good scrap. So it's probably going to be a lot of inside fighting for Menifield tomorrow because he's going to have the he got a 1 inch reach advantage. So I think that's going to be the he's going to definitely be right in there with Clark. I think the person that I'm going to have my eye on tomorrow is Felicia Spencer. I know she's in the main event, but it's just something about her and that cyborg fight that drew me into her, man. And I am so forward to look. I am so looking forward to seeing her fight tomorrow. Although she is a big underdog, of course she should be a big underdog, all underdog to the probably the greatest women's MMA fighter of all time. I want to see, can Felicia Spencer keep her pressure up on Amanda Nunes? Because she did keep pressuring Cyborg that whole fight. She never backed up. She kept coming forward. And you could see for a while, Cyborg was like, wow, man, this girl is not stopping. So I want to see how she performs tomorrow against Amanda Nunes.
I agree, actually, yes. I'm on the side of Felicia Spencer because I don't think, you know, I think this is just another, oh, Nunes is going to, you know, is going to murk this chick. I don't think that. And I think the problem people are having is Felicia Spencer only has like 8, maybe 9 professional fights. She's a grappler.
8-1.
8-1. So the striking is obviously going to be Nunes' advantage, and the power of Nunes is going to be there because you've seen, you know, Spencer's striking still growing, and the power will come with the technique, but the grappling is where she will strive. And I'm curious to see that portion because, you know, Cyborg is just strong. That is just a strong woman. And Nunes is also strong, but, you know, her endurance is not as, I don't think, is as good as Cyborg's. So I'm wondering, can Nunes kind of push that pace that Cyborg did against Spencer without tying herself out and allowing Spencer to get it to the ground, work the grappling? That's what I'm very interested in seeing.
Well, man, I'm just hoping that all the fights live up to, that this card lives up to the billing. But let's jump into some predictions, man. Let's jump into the main event of the prelims. We got Hooper versus Bruce Lee Caceres.
You know, that's a tough fight to pick. I know a lot of people are high on Hooper, and he's definitely got something about him. You know, he's got like some sort of hidden dragon inside him. Like there's just some animal inside out of that dorky kid. But I don't know. It's just Caceres, the striking, he's going to have the striking advantage, I feel. And I feel, I don't know about the reach or height and all that stuff, but
Cooper has the reach advantage by 1 inch.
All right. You know, it's going to be an interesting fight. That's a tough one to pick. But since Caceres does have, I think his weakness is grappling. So, and that's obviously the bread and butter of Hooper. I'm going to go with a first-round submission for Hooper on that one.
I'm going with Hooper by submission also. But I think Bruce Leroy would get out the first round. I think he gets submitted probably mid to late second round. I think Hooper, he'll look really good. He'll look really small. I mean, really smooth, not small. But one thing about Hooper is, he can't get into a striking match with Caceres. I think when Caceres looks good and performs good is when guys are willing to stand up and trade with him. That way he can do all that weird stuff that he does inside the octagon as far as spinning kicks, spinning fists, you know, stuff like that that fans really like. So I think Hooper really, really has to be diverse in his attack and make Caceres think, and don't give Caceres that early round confidence that he has a chance of winning the fight. So I think Hooper wins by a second round submission. Next fight, we have old man Eddie Wineland versus Sugar Sean O'Malley. I think both of us is going to pick this fight the same way, but I'm going to let you break it down and pick the winner and why.
I have not seen an Eddie Wineland fight in a long time. Like, I know he just fought recently, I think at like UFC 238. But just listening to O'Malley talk and interviews and just the way he speaks with the confidence he has, they're calling for a first round knockout. And him and his coach said the same thing about his last fight against Jose Quinones. So I'm going to say the same thing. I believe them, and I think we're going to get another first-round knockout for O'Malley.
Yeah, I think O'Malley finishes Wilding off first-round TKO, probably late in the first round. I think Wilding, being a cagey vet, he's probably going to try to start off slow, keep his distance. But I think O'Malley and the UFC have been real strategic with how they're booking him and the people they're booking against him. So I think he takes advantage of the old man, and I think he has a first-round TKO at Eddie Wineland. Now we get to your one of your sleeper fights of the night, Neil Magny versus Martin.
Said that about a few times now. Like I said, I like this fight because I just don't think – I don't think a lot of people, you know, really kind of see the potential that I think Tony Martin has. You know, he trains at ATT. You know, I think he's dating Kayla Harrison, who's, you know, the PFL world champion. So, you know, the training partners he's got, the talent that I think is hidden in there, and finally being in a proper weight class, you know, I think – you know, the skills are coming, and I like his chances in this one. And then obviously with Neil Magny, you know, arguably one of the top 10, you know, welterweights in the world. But like you said before when we were talking about it, he does good in one fight, but then in the next one he kind of just doesn't look as good as you expected him to. You know, so it's concerning. But, you know, for this one, Neil Magny has a 80-inch reach, while Martin only has a 73.5, so the reach disadvantage is strong there. But I'm still going to pick Tony Martin by decision.
Man, I just knew you was going to go Magny on this one. I just knew you was going to go Magny on this one. I'm with you, man. Neil Magny is one of them guys that he wins fights that you don't think he's going to win. And then he loses fights that you don't think he's going to lose. And then he's a guy that's up and down, up and down, up and down. I think that his last fight, I think he was excited to be back in the cage after his suspension. And he wanted to show people that he was back. So I think that's why he put on such a good performance. But I'm with you, man. I'm going with Martin, man. I think Martin wins this fight by split decision. I think so. He finds a way to get inside Magny's reach, and he makes it a tough inside fight. I think Magny would try to use his length and his reach and probably his kicking, but I think Martin will walk through that, and he will put a lot of pressure on Magny, and I think he ekes out a split decision win. So here's me and Evans. Should be main event or co-main event. We got Aljamain Sterling versus Corey Sandhagen. And according to Dana White, this is a title eliminator. So whoever wins this fight should be fighting for the Bantamweight Championship next. Evan, the floor is yours.
You know, I love this fight. I absolutely love this fight. I also hate it because I don't want either to lose. You got Sterling, Aljamain Sterling, finally within grasp of that world title shot. You know, that I remember the first time I ever saw Sterling fight, he was about to go against Brian Caraway. And God knows how long ago that was. But you know, just the improvements, the leaps and bounds, the growth that he has come back from, and just where he's at now, it's incredible to see, and you do not want to see it end yet. But Corey Sandhagen, you know, I'm extremely high on, big fan. I love his style. You know, it reminds me of Dominic Cruz, but I think Corey's a little bit more aggressive and, you know, pushes more for a finish. So to break down the fight just real quick, the way I see this fight going down is, you know, Aljamain Sterling, his fighting style is very awkward. You know, he kind of does a lot of activity in the beginning, especially if you go back to the Pedro Munhoz fight. He was very active, throwing a lot of just kicks, punches, just random stuff to kind of get, you know, Munhoz frustrated, and then just, you know, work very awkward. I don't even know how to explain it, but and then you have Corey Sandhagen, where I said he's more aggressive. It's a lot of footwork. It's a lot of, you know, movement, and I like that stuff. So I think the deciding factor of this fight, I think you're going to see Corey Sandhagen is going to do more damage in the striking, and then Aljamain, I think, will win the grappling matches, but I believe Sandhagen will survive those, and like I said, he will survive. He will do better on the feet, and I think we will probably get split decision for Sandhagen. I hate saying split, but I think that's where I'm picking Sandhagen, but I think it's going to be a split.
Man, I'm with you, man. This is a fight that I thought Aljamain Sterling should be fighting Peter Yan for the bantamweight belt. The UFC had told him he was the number one contender. And once again, it don't matter what they say. It always matters what they do. And I thought Aljamain Sterling should be fighting Peter Yan for the belt. I think me and you both probably agree on that. But that's not the fight we're getting. We're getting Aljamain Sterling versus probably the hottest guy in the division, Corey Sandhagen. I think Sterling has to do is fight at distance, and he has to use kicks. And if I was him, I would use the clinch to my advantage. I think you use the clinch to frustrate Sandhagen, to get him out of what he likes to do. Corey Sandhagen likes to strike and punch in combinations, and he likes to stay back. If you can close the distance and make him have to adjust and fight within close proximity, we haven't seen him do that yet. I think you're right. I think Sandhagen is probably the crisper striker, but I think Aljamain's skills have come around Man, he has definitely improved. But I have been on the Corey Sandhagen bandwagon probably for the last year, and I've been driving it. So I'm going with Sandhagen, and I'm not going split this time. I'm going with Sandhagen in a unanimous decision over Aljamain Sterling. I think Sandhagen will come out and impose his will starting in the first round. He will make Aljamain Sterling adjust to his style. And Aljamain, can he make the proper adjustments to keep up with Sandhagen? With that being said, Aljamain has a great team in his corner. He has a great team in his corner. But with my guns, I'm going with Sandhagen to win by unanimous decision. 10-9 for all rounds, 30-27. I got Sandhagen winning this fight. Next up, we got the co-main event. We got Asuncao versus the former champ, Cody Garbrandt, as the headliner of this bantamweight showcase. Floor is yours, Evan.
You know, this one, I'm not, like, we've talked about it. I'm not particularly happy with this one just because they're both on losing streaks. It's clear as day, Sterling versus Sandhagen should have been the co-main event, but, you know, the milk has been spilled. We won't cry over it anymore. I like Cody in this one. You know, I think the time off, you know, I think the time off, the improvements he's definitely have made you know, and just getting the mind right, the mental health, the mental state is extremely important when it comes to this game and just in daily life. So, you know, I think, well, personally, the only way Cody can lose this fight is by decision, and I don't mean that in, like, a fighting sense. I mean that, like, generally, he can't lose by knockout, because if he loses by knockout, I don't think you can sell him anymore. Like, I think if a guy gets knocked out four times in a row, I don't know how you promote him anymore as, like, as a promising contender or even just a general talent. So, with that being said, I think Cody's going to come in hot, smart, but, you know, hot, smart, and technical. I think, you know, that the mindset's going to be clear, and I think we're going to see, I'm going to say a second round knockout. Cody.
One thing about Cody is he's changed camps. He's not with Uriah and them anymore. He's changed camps. He trains. Oh, my God, I can't remember who his trainer is. I just saw it on the UFC Countdown show. But he did. He has a mixed camp now. So will he be different? Will he change up? Will he be able to defend the right hook? Every time he's been knocked out, it's been a right hook. And I'm going to say no. I'm going to say a Sunsao connects with a right hook and knocks Cody Garbrandt out in the second or the third round. I think the best of Cody Garbrandt was the Dominique Cruz fight. And I think the worst of Cody Garbrandt is he can't defend the right hook. Until he can defend the right hook, I would pick against him to lose. And Hassan Sal is a guy that has power. He's fighting the best of the best. Some wins, some losses. And I think he knows right now that basically he needs this fight to stay in the title picture. But at the same time, we all know he's not in the title picture. I think you got the Sterling Sandhagen fight. I think you got an up-and-coming O'Malley. I think you got still in the hunt. You got Jan. Then you got Frankie Edgar, who's still in the division. So, Hassan Sal, I think, finishes Cody, like I said, in the second or third round via right hook. And we'll be sitting there. A lot of people will be surprised, but I won't, because I don't think he can defend the right hook. Until he showed me he can defend the right hook, I won't believe it.
You know,
you got a comeback for that?
You know, I can't, I'm on the same field though. Like, I know I picked Cody, but the concerns are there, and I'm picking Cody out of emotion because I just, you can't, you know, you know, everything he's gone through, beating the, arguably the best bantamweight of all time, winning the world title, you know, getting knocked out three times, now finally getting his chance to come back healthy, you know, in a co-main event spot, even coming off these losses. Like, you know, everything seems to be in line for him. But if that defense for that right hook or left hook is not there, it's lights out. And it's lights out for him, you know, personally. And I think it's lights out professionally if he gets knocked down this one. So, that's just, I'm just concerned for him. I worry. I hope he gets it done. I really do.
I think if he loses, the UFC keeps him. They won't cut him because he is a former champ. But I think it'll be in Dana's mind. I think he'll have to ask himself, do we want to keep him? Should we let him go? I think if he loses via another knockout, that would be part of the UFC's discussion on Monday morning. Is Cody worth keeping? Have we seen the best of him? So keep that in mind. And I think if he loses, the best move for him would be to go to Rising, because I think Rising, although Rising is actually tough, bro. they got some tough little fighters over there. But I think he probably could get a, big time fight with Demetrius Johnson if he was to go over there. You know, because I think they bantamweight. I think Demetrius fights at flyweight, but I think their flyweight division goes between 130 and 125. I think so. I think Cody. But we'll just get through this fight, and before we'll just get through this fight, and then we'll see how it plays out. Moving on to the main event. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I hate to interrupt, but just one thing I heard in an interview. I forget who it was, but someone said that Cody was actually thinking about making a move to 125. So that's another thought, you know, for Monday.
Yeah, I don't see him moving to 125. I don't. But you know what? 125 isn't as tough as it used to be, so it probably would be a great move for him. But he'll still be on a four-fight losing streak, though.
True.
You can't take that off the record book. All right, so moving to the main event. We got Amanda Nunes, probably the greatest, arguably the greatest women's MMA fighter of all time, defending her featherweight belt for the first time against Felicia Spencer. Who you got?
You know. I
think me and you are both going to be torn on this prediction.
What's that?
I think me and you both going to be torn on this prediction.
I think I agree because I don't want to be boring and just say Nunes because I know that's the obvious pick for everyone to go with. And I understand why it makes sense. You know, the striking is there. The talent is there. The team behind her is there. Everything is there. But there's something about Spencer. You know, she's got this confidence and she's got the, you know, technically the weakness, you could say, that Nunes, you know, I don't want to say grappling is Nunes' weakness because she has, you know, her jiu-jitsu is great and, you know, her obviously the camp she's in it's truly one of the greatest camps you could be in. But I just think the cardio issues and I think the size. I don't think Nunes is a true 145er. I think she belongs at 135. And I think fighting a true 145er, I know she fought Cyborg, but we won't get into all that. I'm curious to see the strength of Felicia and, you know, when she gets a hold. I want to see the first grappling exchange, and I want to see what happens. You know, how strong is Nunes, and then how much stronger is Spencer? And with all that, with all those, you know, those points and, you know, thoughts, I'm gonna go with a fourth round submission win for Spencer.
Whoa!
Coming hot.
Wow. Okay. You know what? Last week you came in hot with a Gilbert Burns first round knockout of Tyron Woodley, and I was like, whoa. Then I said Burns will win by unanimous decision.
Uh-huh.
I said by split decision, I think. I said he would win by decision. I can't remember whether it was split or unanimous.
I think you said unanimous, I think.
But I'm with you again this week. I like Spencer in this fight. I like her heart. I like that she just keeps coming forward. Normally, most people that fight Amanda Nunes, they are normally backing up. They are retreating. I think Spencer will be the one coming forward. I think Spencer will be the one applying pressure. I think Spencer will be the one that will be more patient in this fight. I think she is going to make a Nunes go five rounds. And I don't think Nunes' cardio is going to hold up for five rounds. I like Felicia Spencer winning this fight by decision. I think she wins by decision. I don't think the judges are scared to award a challenger a belt via decision, because if you look at it, that's how Cejudo beat DJ, which is still questionable in my opinion. That's how Usman beat Woodley via decision. And I think we get a new champion, man. I'm going with Felicia Spencer, man. Felicia Spencer wins this fight against Amanda Nunes and shocks the world. And I see Amanda Nunes never fighting at 145 again. I see Amanda Nunes becoming a bantamweight. I don't see her requesting a rematch. And we'll see a new star on the rise at Felicia Spencer.
I'm right there with you. I really am. You know, I just think, I know it's tough for the UFC to, I think the UFC probably wants Nunes to win this fight because the featherweight division is non-existent. Like, obviously, if Spencer wins, she's going to rematch Anderson, and she already beat Anderson by first-round submission, so the marketing really isn't there. But it kind of is because of the comeback story and all that stuff. But Nunes belongs at 135. The talent is not exactly there at 135, but it's getting there, especially with the with Irene Aldana. I think she deserves the next shot at 135, personally.
And but she's pretty
we'll
good.
We'll talk about it another time.
Aldana is pretty good. I was very impressed with her last fight. She started slow, mm-hmm. but she did finish her opponent, and she looked good doing it. So I'm with you at 135. I think after Megan Anderson and Felicia Spencer, I wouldn't be surprised if the 145 division ended up being folded, or they come up with an ultimate fighter for featherweight for women to try to strengthen that division. So I think that's one or two things we could probably see happen with the 145. Either you get Felicia versus Megan, and then you can see the division fold, or you can see them doing the ultimate fighter 145 women's division.
I think they need to get more women on the contender series, like featherweight women on the contender series. That's what I would like to see. Even women bantamweights, because, you know, I don't think if you go down the list of like the contender series and look at like the female fights, I don't think you really see anything above like 125, maybe a few bantamweight 135 fights, but I really think it's more of like the 115, 125 division for women on the contender series. I could be wrong, but I'm feeling pretty confident.
I think the UFC has fallen into a trap of bringing Invicta bantamweights and Invicta featherweights mm-hmm. to the UFC for certain fights. And then you'll see them back in Invicta. So I'm kind of with you on that. I think maybe try to step outside the box to strengthen your roster, because basically most of the divisions in the women's, most of the women's divisions are top heavy. Most of them are very, very top heavy. Once you get past the top five, basically become watered down, and you really don't know who the number six ranked person is. So it would probably be a good idea to probably, you know, do the contender series women's edition and see what kind of talent they can find.
I agree.
Or maybe even recruit Shayna Baszler back.
Imagine. Could you even imagine?
I mean, that's always an idea. I mean, you could always try to recruit her back, you know, because she's on the main roster now, but I'm quite sure at the right price, the WWE and the UFC could do business. I mean, because, you know, I think Vince and Dana White understand how popular the cross utilization could be. So, never know. Maybe we'll get Shayna Baszler back.
Anything's possible.
Yep. But we got a couple minutes left. Thanks, Evan, for, you know, jumping on and being my co-host tonight. You did a great job, my man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for, you know, honoring me with this, you know, this opportunity. I apologize. I feel bad, of course. My first time on, we got a few technical difficulties, but, you know, I think we put out a really good show.
Yeah, actually, that was my fault, man. My headphones needed to be charged, and I didn't see the red light blinking. I was like, man, what the hell is going on? So the audio on my headphones kept dying, coming up with disconnect, but that's okay. You know, we got through it. So any last words, man?
You know, all I hope for is tomorrow night we have some really good fights. I'm very excited. We get another pay-per-view. We get, you know, arguably the female GOAT of the, you know, women's MMA, you know, during this whole pandemic. So, final words, I hope everyone's staying safe. I hope everyone's staying healthy, all that jazz. And, you know, for having me on, allowing me to do this. And, yeah, I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being available and, you know, being able to step in for Keys. You know, Keys had a busy day today. He was out doing a peaceful protest in Boston today. Hats off for him for doing that. Salute. You know, he said he was going to send me some videos of the protest. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But at the same time, hats off to Evan for being my special co-host tonight. Like I agree with Evan, hopefully UFC 250 lives up to the way it looks on paper. Sometimes cars look good on paper and don't live up to the billing. But hopefully tomorrow it does. As they, you know, Evan, before we get off, what did you think about the smaller cage last week?
If you watched, you know, I'm trying to think of the fight. You know, great example was Chookagian versus Antonia Shevchenko. I really thought Shevchenko was going to do a lot better, but the shortness of the cage did not allow her to kind of strike at distance and allowed Chookagian just to take her down at will, which that's just her defense was lacking. But I like the shorter cage. I think it creates more action when fighters want to action, you know, because you can still – you know, you can still pace and kind of still walk around, but I like the shorter cage. Definitely hope they keep this one in the long run.
I like the smaller cage too. I think it forces fighters to engage because you have, what is it, 10 less feet to mess around with. I think it's 25 feet instead of 35 feet, and it makes the action intensifies, and when you get taken down, you have to be able to get up right away, because if a person lays on you, you don't have that extra 10 feet to wiggle around, to play around, and to sprawl. You actually have to have some kind of technique to get back to your feet. So I hope they stick with the smaller cage also. I haven't seen anything that says they was using the smaller cage this week. But I'll probably look that up when we get off this. But I hope they do stick with the smaller cage. It'd be interesting to hear what the fighters think of the smaller cage. But I know me as a fan, I really enjoyed it. But, you know, once again, UFC 250 tomorrow. Thanks to Evan for being my special co-host tonight. And then close it, like I always say, live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest every day. Tell somebody you love them and try to have one good laugh every day. With that being said, everybody take care. Take care of yourself. COVID-19 is still a real thing, so make sure you're practicing social distancing, wearing a mask, and taking care of yourself and your family. Everybody have a good weekend. Be safe. Peace.